Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. Allergies in the U.S. alone affect over 50 million people. A new book looks at their history. It's called Breathing Space: How Allergies Shape Our Lives and Landscapes. I spoke with author Greg Mittman, professor of history of science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Mittman talked about the ecological relationships between people and place that give rise to allergies and whether we're likely to find a silver bullet in the form of a pill to cure them. Here's Greg Mittman. Dr. Mittman, welcome to Earth and Sky.
Thank you for having me.
You've looked into the history of allergies. What does that have anything to do with what a lot of us deal with here in the United States on a daily basis?
Sure. I mean, the book really grew out of my own personal experience growing up as a severe asthmatic in the 1960s, and it was about a decade after the first effective medications in the treatment of allergy and asthma, antihistamines, corticosteroids, bronchodilators, became available. And although I responded well to some of those, they didn't completely address all my symptoms, and there was some discussion about sending me out to the Children's Asthma Research Institute and Hospital in Denver, which was probably the leading asthma treatment facility at the time. It was a convalescent home where kids would spend 2 years of their life.
I'd like to look at the big picture here and some of the relationships that you've described between illness, allergies, and place. Could you maybe talk a little bit about some of the root causes of allergies?
We need to think about illness more ecologically to really see health and illness as an outcome of physical, biological, economic, social relationships within the environment. And in fact, one of the in the early development of allergy as a clinical field, pharmaceutical companies develop a kind of model for treating allergy on the basis of the success of vaccines in the early 20th century, and they develop what they call a pollen vaccine. So literally labs develops a set of pollens that were used to desensitize patients, and some of your listeners who have allergy sufferers may have experienced this when they go and get shots to desensitize them. The kinds of pollens that they used, however, were very place-specific to where Letterly was located in New York. And when they shipped these pollen vaccines out to the West Coast, allergists found that they weren't effective. And the reason was, of course, because none of those plants occurred out west, and none of the allergy sufferers out there were exposed to them. So allergy is a very place-specific disease in terms of the kinds of allergens that afflict particular people.
If you could tell us a little bit about why certain things, bother us and other things don't. I mean, have there been studies into that?
Well, I mean, certain kinds of plants, say, for example, the pollen of certain kinds of plants, ragweed, as a case in point, is very allergenic, and it's related to the protein, produced in that particular pollen of that particular plant. We know in the case of indoor allergens that dust mites, the feces of dust mites, for example, are particular allergenic for certain people. And again, it's connected to protein. So, and we also know that cockroaches, in the case of, again, indoor allergens, can be highly allergenic for some people. And why certain people are susceptible or not depends a lot upon exposure in their life as well as their own immunochemistry.
Could you maybe talk a little bit about how we're doing against, maybe you mentioned ragweed, and you talked about the war against ragweed. How are we doing now? Is this war winnable?
Well, the whole way in which the kind of war on ragweed gets framed comes out of the 1930s and 40s. It really appears during the Dust Bowl in the 1930s, where the middle section, there's an agricultural crisis in the middle section of the United States. And ragweed flourishes in disturbed soils. So in the 1940s, the herbicide 2,4-D came along, and people thought that they could just deal with allergies by spraying all this ragweed through this herbicide that would kill it. And as much herbicide was sprayed for ragweed control in the 1940s as DDT for mosquito control. And that really kind of, there was this whole notion of a war on ragweed. Of course, it didn't work. What had once been a native species of North America, we now can find ragweed in Europe. It's spread to China. And as CO2 levels rise, it's estimated that the pollen production of ragweed will double by the end of the century. So that's not a good sign for hay fever sufferers.
When we talk about options here for the future, some of the options that you explored was escape?
Well, I mean, one of the things, you know, that we see are kind of American approach to healthcare right now is really, you know, focusing on pharmaceuticals, right? On finding that magic pharmaceutical bullet that's going to cure particular illnesses. And there's very big money to be made in allergy. Right now, I mean, 20% of GlaxoSmithKline, $32 billion in worldwide sales in 2005 came from two asthma drugs alone. Schering-Plough made $15 billion on a single antihistamine, Claritin, between 1993 and 2002. But these drugs really only provide symptomatic relief. And one of the arguments of the book is that we really need to develop a much more integrated approach to addressing chronic diseases like allergy, in which we really bring together economic, social, and physical conditions and relationships that are creating these health disparities that we see in places like asthma, and address them in a more integrated way rather than just trying to find the next magic bullet that's going to cure all our ills. And in fact, we've yet to be able to find it in the case of asthma or hay fever, and I doubt that we will. So one of the things I think the real solution lies in addressing really the ecology of allergic disease, which will include thinking about land use, which will include thinking about building construction, will involve confronting structural inequities in housing and healthcare in American society. And we really need to bring back public health into the American healthcare system. I think it's public health has gradually been eroded over the course of the 20th and early 21st century in the United States, and in the national debate that seems to be emerging about healthcare, we really need to think about more kind of community health, public health approaches, which aren't as sexy as, you know, the newest drug, but in the long term may end up being more effective. For example, in the case of inner city asthma, it's not just about getting kids in these communities drugs, right? But it's addressing issues around degraded housing conditions. It's addressing issues of poverty. It's addressing issues of air pollution. It's addressing issues of getting better managed care and adequate access to health care. So bringing all those together is really important, right, rather than just getting, for example, kids on inhaled steroids early in their life.
That was science historian Greg Mittman talking about his book, Breathing Space. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.